Blog Talk Radio.
Moment, we are fully alive.
or death enlivens, invigorates all that it touches with its magic power. It is in that silence of mind that has ceased to oppose life and its circumstances that we will find the infinite power that is our heritage, that is our birthright, the majesty and the glory that is within. The ancient seers called it the madness within the dream that our higher self would design with such infinitesimal care. Every circumstance in our life, and then we would fight it with all our might, feeling victimized and resisting it every step of the way. This is madness indeed, for it is like Cervantes' character, Don Quixote, fighting windmills with his sword. For the great wisdom that sustains the cosmos can surely sustain us. And this same wisdom will lift us up and over if the worst of our fears were to come about. We attract that which we fear, and when fear ceases to be, but gives way to trust, our journey shall unfold much smoother. And in the place of resistanceless silence lies all possibilities, for it is there that we can hear the whispering guidance of our hearts. It is there, in that place between breaths, where the mind is still, that we can peek through the windows into eternity. And with this eternal perspective, see the innocence of all behavior, of all human experience. For we are but actors on the stage, and some give perception through the folly born of deliberate illusion they undertake in order to play the part, and others who have volunteered to be the perception getters observe this behavior and learn from it, that they may help their brothers off the treadmill. For the purpose of all experience is to turn the unknown into the known, and this is growth. Not one portion of existence is not designed with the evolution of awareness in mind. The unknown, where growth lies, is the destiny of every life. wobbling a bit this way, then that, with the momentum of the pedals. Yet, the eternal perspective straightened the vicissitudes of the journey. Let us, therefore, embrace the moment, for that is all we have. And it is in that moment that our silence can be found. For thoughts have a resistance to life, pulls us out of the moment into the immediate future or past. Observed the heron, whose mortal enemy is the ego. When under attack, the ferocious dive by the ego to get his prey has stood in the majesty of calmness, bracing himself upon his legs, standing firm. And the ego would dive, and with the heron standing with his beak pointed at the sky, the ego has brought about his own downfall through the very ferocity of his flight. It has been observed by naturalists that the ego has impaled himself upon the beak of the heron, who did naught but stand in the majesty of silence. This is poise, the most enviable of traits, for it is indicative of true mastery. A multitude of accomplished attitudes go into producing that refined quality of calmness and poise. One of them is timing, for there is a moment to act and a moment not to, a moment in which the same course of action that could produce karma would not. There is rhythm to life, that when we are silent, we can hear, and we march to a higher drum, and we dance the dance of life with equanimity and grace and poise. Of grace to this majesty of poise. Grace knows that it is a conduit for life. It gives freely to all it encounters, whether it is an encouraging word, gentleness where it's needed, firmness where that is needed, or whether it is but a helping hand or a word of hope or genuine assistance. Grace having no self-pity, nor self-importance, not carrying the previous moment into this. Fluidity, the ability to change directions in an instant, if needs be. And so it is that patience comes into play, the patience of the heron, waiting his attacker, seeing himself as the center of his universe, the center of strength, drawing upon the power of all around him.
Then that we think that all life should be
we value all our emotions equally, for all are indicators upon the path we walk. It shall be so that we need not fear our pain, nor bury our anger, knowing full well that anger is but a means to break up illusion, that pain is but prodding change where there is stagnation, or where we are out of step with the rhythm of life. Where change was not made at the right moment. If we fear not the emotions that might come forth, let us examine the events in our life we wish not to look at, until they yield the insights that lie hidden within them. The more the clamor of the internal dialogue yields its place to the silence of the mind. The more still our mind becomes, the more we live within the place of the heart, that place of all power that guides us step by step through life. No longer do we need to be hit over the head, but instead we heed the soft whisperings that comes through the heart, heard in the silence, and our dance with life becomes one of grace, one of poise, one of majesty. It is time for us to examine those things that ensnare the mind into its activity and clamor. The first is resistance to life. We have seen that thoughts come as a result of resistance to life. The second, which we have touched upon, is the result of past painful experiences that have not been fully examined to extract their insights. The dialogue in the mind keeps us from feeling the pain of these events.
Thank you.
is the deafening dialogue of the mind. Let us trace the origin of each action. Fire is hot, you say. Who told you that? If you approach it from a higher consciousness, it is but light. And you can wash your hands in fire as easily as you can in water. Water is wet, you say. But that is not the case, unless you believe it to be. Cold or heat is but that, because of your body's resistance. If you allow it to flow through you, it need not be. And now, the many conditionings that tells you about what tastes you should have, what loyalties you should have, what career you should follow, what somebody else was taught by their parents and their parents and their parents, what is decent. A new paradigm is afoot. What is your highest truth shall come through your heart. For magic once again exists upon the earth and is as close as our fingertips. Veils between kingdoms are thinning. The magic of the unseen creatures that are ever around us can be felt now. Life is definitely changing, for we are, as an entire cosmos, steadily raising in frequency. Life is changing. Will you hear its different song if you listen to the voice of conditioning? Education that told you what was valuable, what was successful, and what is not. Oftentimes, we go to psychologists to help us adjust to the world, but the world itself is abnormal. What is it that we want? To be adjusted to an abnormal world and call that normal? Beloved ones, let us trace every action to see its origin. And if it is not from our heart, if it is because we are living according to the dictates of others, or indeed to keep others from growing by sheltering them, we are betraying that contract we made with the infinite of what we have come to solve through our experiences. For our highest truth comes through our hearts. And if we do not live our highest truth, nor can others in our environment, we cannot set them free from their folly unless we forsake our own first. To forfeit the joy of our being, the path of our heart, to live a life of enslavement to the expectations of others not honor our contract with the one that expresses as the many. For it is only in fulfilling our path dictated by our hearts that we bring service and honor and respect to all life through our actions. And now there is a fourth. Contributes to the dialogue that keeps us from the silence of the mind. And the fourth is the labels we have given ourselves or allowed ourselves to believe by what other outside mirrors said we were. Is it that we see ourselves as not attractive, as not smart, as not intelligent or creative, as having too much of this or too little of that? Do we still carry programming that was passed from generation to generation about what men should or cannot be, and what women cannot do? Those labels we have assigned to ourselves obscure the purity of the feelings that are meant to guide us within the majesty of silence. When we utilize these labels to validate ourselves, we are building an identity that gets more and more complex and harder to see through, to find ourselves, until eventually the veneer of labels, of identity that we have bought as others have given it to us, or have believed ourselves, have become so thick that finally we can no longer find the pureness of our essence. Even the positive labels become a source of identity. We shall always retain self-awareness forever and ever. That essence which we are will stand out from those of others. But identity is imposed upon us outside circumstances, and once again it is maintained by that dialogue which keeps us out of silence. Let us take time each day to feed the soul by sitting in the place of eternal time. Eternal time and meditation is not the same. Meditation is a specific set of mind in which we are in an altered state. Eternal time, on the other hand, is where we are fully aware of the moment. Except ye become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. The great master once said. It is living in eternal time that takes us back to the innocence of our childhood. When we sat upon the grass and watched the ant crawl across a leaf and the clouds flit across the sky and the golden sunlight stream through the leaves and every smell was intense and every feeling immediate and every sound was heard by that little child, fully aware of the moment. But his mother, steeped in care, living in the previous moment or the next, embroiled in her thoughts, fails to see the beauty of the butterfly wings that flits by, fails to smell the roses or the honeysuckle upon the breeze, fails to hear the rustle of a stray cat in the tree. Much is missed, for within thought, she is not within the moment. Let us take time each day to sit in full awareness to the moment. In the ancient civilizations, meditation was taught, but as a technique for living in meditation, living with full attention to the now. But through the thousands of years, it became obscured as a goal unto itself. Living in meditation, living in silence. Experiencing this moment fully. The master once said, "Give not heed for the morrow, what you shall wear, what you shall eat. The morrow will take care of itself, beloved ones. If tomorrow is shaped by the thoughts of today, but you forsake this moment today, where shall the future come from? The future is born of the moment, but when we always escape that moment by living in the next, we form that future not consciously, but haphazardly. Indeed, if we forsake the moment, where shall the future come from?" Within these words lie a great truth. For while others seek the master, living in the silence of the mind, creates truth spontaneously, moment by moment. Did we think it was truth that a blind man could be made to see, or the lame could be made to walk, or water could be turned into wine, or all the many miracles that happen when a master lives in the moment? Truth. Reason would have denied that this was truth. But we are not here to placate reason. We are here to listen to the voice of the infinite being in which we dwell. That our hearts. Let us not ask what is possible and what is not. For that which is possible is all things to the one who lives in the place of silence. When you have discovered that which you feel is today's truth, hold onto it lightly with the fluidity of grace. For today's truth is not tomorrow's truth. Truth changes as we raise in perception. Let us discuss now perspective. It is in silence. We are in the large perspective. The large perspective sees eternity. It sees beyond the curve in the horizon. It sees around corners for wherever it is. It is all things. The small perspective looks at the details, sees the minutiae, those things that are before us. In silence, let us observe where we will, but in staying in that place of stillness, that which we observe without judgment, without resistance, must discard its illusion in favor of truth which lies behind the appearances. What we are now saying is that in this state of stillness, is there something that plays out in front of you that seems to be problematic? If we continue to stay in the place of no judgment, no value given to this experience we are witnessing, it must eventually shed its illusion and reveal the perfection that underlies all appearances. The further masters develop, the more they see the perfection. In the darkest of places, there is but unyielded light. In the greatest of folly, there is but service rendered. In the deepest of distress are moments of pivotal change to be found. Let us look deeper and deeper into the moment, and we shall always find only perfection. Let us look wider and wider, and we shall find that the perfection spans all of existence with its upholding hand, and that which we see is so catastrophic shall eventually also yield the insight of its perfection to those who care to see. Let us cease to oppose life. have received. For a master has no worldview. Let us also eliminate all personal identity and labels. For it is only in the absence of those that true and pure feeling can guide us. Distortion, disguised as feeling, is the result of personal labels and social conditioning. Now I wish one more time to give us the key of another obstacle to be removed that stands in the way of silence. It is the identity with the physical and the ego. Many sages have spoken about how this is to be overcome, but few have given the way. If you take time to gather the insights of your experiences, if you guard and guide your thoughts, that they not be the result of outside influences, if you remove your labels and live in that place which is the moment, the place of silence, one day, effortlessly, you will find that you no longer are what you thought you were, a bunch of feelings, thoughts, within a body, but instead, you have gained a vast and different identity, the large perspective. You have become that which you truly are, a being as vast as the cosmos, having a human experience, a consciousness superimposed over all that is. This is your true identity, your experience and your body is but a point in the vastness of who you are. If you think of yourself as only this small speck in space, your thoughts will keep you anchored. But when you allow the memory of your true being as a unique perspective superimposed over all that is to come forth, there is no need for thought, for you have become the eternal mind. Thoughts plus feelings hoped for and form your reality. They call in the circumstances of your life. Thoughts plus feelings create. But when you become a God-conscious being, a self-actualized, God-aware being, knows that he or she is not what it seems, but is as vast as all life, and that in God we dwell and have our being, and in us God dwells and has his, her being. creation takes place in a different way. No longer are thoughts and feelings necessary. In such stillness, this expanded awareness, there is but the slightest attention and a slight intention. You are heirs to the kingdom of the infinite, not servants at the gate. The ancient scriptures say, "Be still and know that ye are gods." The divine heritage of the infinite is assuredly in each of us, as our essence lives forth in our children, or in the creation of our hands, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. You are an eternal being, as vast as the cosmos. And with your destruction, the cosmos shall surely fall, for you are all.